I want Joel to put up a scripture there, just for starters. Philippians 2:3, that was the scripture that he... And it says a lot in a little sentence. There's a lot to be said. This is Christianity, the way it's supposed to be, in a nutshell. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife. Remember that word. That's through fighting or vainglory, pride. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That's basically love your neighbor as yourself. So if you look down on a person, you're already on the wrong track. You always have to look up to everybody. You're all better than I am. You're all better than I am. If you have that attitude, we will have very little to strive about. So before I start my message, though, I want to ask us to rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for your grace, for a new start here, a new building. Lord Jesus, nothing has changed as far as we are concerned with you, because we depend on you, the power of the Holy Spirit, to make our lives worth living. Lord, everything else is vain and is empty. There's the emptiness in the world is echoing in more and more how empty things are. So Lord Jesus, we depend on you to fill us with joy unspeakable in all areas. Let us not be murmurous, but help us to be content in whatever state that we're in. That you'll bless us and make us a blessing and help us to seek the lost. Lord, this is what this is all about, that we encourage one another and challenge one another to tell people about Jesus Christ, because hell is forever and a long, long time. So Lord Jesus, you will get this message across to your children, that we need to rescue people from the lake of fire. Thank you, Jesus, for this. You will show up here marvelously, Father. You are welcome, Holy Spirit, to join us and to touch every heart. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And you may be seated. Even though the scripture was not quite what I was what I'm going to speak about, the scriptures that I have, and my message didn't come till this morning. I don't panic anymore. It gets anxious sometimes. I don't have nothing to say, but came early this morning, and it came out of one of the Ten Commandments, and I'll get into that later. But first, I want to go through the Ten Commandments and what they mean, why were they written. You'll notice, Reaching Out Ministries, we have no dress code. Ever since I've known my father-in-law, he's never, ever preached dress code, and there's a reason for that. I'll give you a short little story that'll be part of why we never, as Reaching Out Ministries, had a dress code. A friend of mine from work, good friend, he had his cousin and his girlfriend, ex-Hutterite, but used to be from a colony. Anyway, they were living together in Edmonton, shacked up, party animals, you name it. They were all into whatever this life has to offer on the fleshly side of things. I'm not going to get into details of what it was, but whatever. One day she gets saved. And guess what the first thing she did is? She told them, we're not going to sleep together anymore. Who told her not to do that? She had been an unbeliever, didn't know anything about Christianity, and yet the first thing that she told them is this: we will not be sleeping together anymore. How did that come about? There was nobody to teach her in that except one. That's proof of a genuine spirit being placed inside of a person, and that person bringing the law to life. So that's why I have my message today is on the Ten Commandments and what they are, and are they still relevant? So I'll go through them in the short term. They're in short. They're not the full, because the long version is out of Deuteronomy. This is just a short form of them. So the first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. It's very simple, and that's a small g. So in other words, don't have anything that is higher than God that you worship. You shall not make idols. That's number two. We have any idols in our hearts? Okay, this is a mirror. Basically, this is a mirror. It cannot wash you. It cannot cleanse you. It's a mirror to check you out. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, we were told that growing up that you shouldn't say, my good God. That's deeper than that. And I'm going to give you a scripture out of Proverbs 30, verse 7-9, out of the King James Version. Solomon, writing, King Solomon, son of David. He says, two things have I required of you. Do I require of you? That's he's talking to God here. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. He was a rich man. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. What do you think that means? I want you to study it and come to a conclusion in your own heart. If you think that means saying, oh my God, it does not mean that. It's a deeper meaning. It's if you say you trust in God and you do not trust him for your provision, in a nutshell. The next one is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And again, let's go deeper. There's one that Jesus went deeper with this. He says in Matthew 12, verse 7 to 8, King James Version again. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I used to not understand this part here. I will have mercy, comma, and not sacrifice. In other words, if you would not have condemned, and you would have not condemned the guiltless. And here is what this means. The devotion for your cause or your religious exercise is not as important as showing mercy and grace to someone in need. If you are so devoted in your devotions to what you need to do and they outrank the importance of showing mercy and grace to somebody, then this is what this scripture means. I will rather that you have mercy than sacrifice. So sacrifice means nothing. That's just a devotion that you have kept or devoted yourself to do, but without showing grace or mercy to somebody. And then it says, for the Son of God is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So all day to God is a Sabbath day. Treat God and everything just every day alike, because we need to worship God every day, not just Sabbath day. Number 10 is a tricky one. It says, I must have mixed something. Honor your father and mother. Now, I've become a Christian when I was a young kid. And I couldn't exactly do what my mom and dad wanted to, because I had to choose between. This is where Jesus, Matthew 10:37, comes in. He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So there is one that goes deeper. If you have a devotion more to your mom and your dad than to Jesus, then they are not worthy of you. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't still honor them in the ways of that outside of your devotion to Jesus Christ. And then this is the one that caught my attention, is thou shalt not kill. And most versions that are written, modern day versions, have this wrong. There's a difference between killing and murder. Do you know what the difference is? Murder is premeditated. Killing would be an all-inclusive, thou shalt not kill. That would even mean the stuff you eat, you shall not kill. There is nothing you should kill. And I'll break it down into Hebrew. I was listening to a guy from Israel. He explained, and he said, I think only the King James Version has this one right. Most versions have it wrong. They have thou shalt not kill. It is actually hareg. In the Hebrew, which means kill. Rarshesh is murder, which means this is what it actually says. That's the word that is used in the original text, is rarshesh, which is murder. That means you are premeditating to murder somebody. King David killed a lot of people in his life, but he murdered somebody. And he wasn't even directly involved in that murder, but he pre-planned it, premeditated it, set him up to kill so he can have his wife, the man's wife for his own. And that was murder. And yet God said nothing about all the killing. And I'm going to get into some more scripture about that. In Matthew 5:21, King James Version, says there's a difference. These differences between, there is a difference between premeditated killing, murder, and killing. The Apostle Paul knew and understood this when he wrote to the Romans. This is what he's writing in Romans 13, verse 4. For, talking about the government, for he is a minister, I mean a good godly government. He is a minister of God to do you good, to do for good. For if you do that which is evil, then be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he that ministers of God is a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. So is then, this would be killing upon a person. That would be somebody who's not living right. The government has the power and the means where it would not fall under murder. So there you go. There's a difference between murder and killing. And this is where also killing could come in, where nowadays the animal rights activists use it. Thou shalt not kill. See, then that's all inclusive. You will not be able to do nothing, but it means murder. If you kill even animals, murder animals, and you don't eat them, I think that qualifies as murder. If you do not use what you're eating, then I think it's unnecessary. But here he's talking basically about people, about murdering people. This is what this text is about. It's about murder. And murder, we'll take a little bit deeper, where Jesus said, if you already hate somebody, you're a murderer. I think I missed some scripture here that I had out of Matthew, where he says, somehow I missed that one here somewhere. But anyway, Jesus had said, if you hate your brother, you're in danger of hellfire, in danger of hellfire. So that means hating is just like murder in the New Testament. And then going on, the last one, it's not the last one, you shall not commit adultery. And this is what Jesus has to explain about that one. How many of us commit adultery? And this is, Jesus finished this one. He added more to this one. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her, just to look at her and to lust after her, has committed adultery already in his heart. And the second last one, you shall not steal. And that includes over time at work. Me and Gary were discussing that even if you clock in and you, there's different ways of stealing stuff. You look in the mirror to see if you do these things. And then the last one, second last one, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. To lie. That means simply to lie about things about your neighbor. And again, remember the first verse that I had up there in Philippians, where it said that we should esteem one another better than ourselves. Then you'll never lie about somebody. And finally, the last one, which I think most of us, not all of us, feel at that one. You shall not covet. What does covet mean? It simply means wanting something that somebody else has. How many of you are ever guilty of that? Don't show hands. I think I'm guilty of it sometimes, but I catch myself and I stop it because it is not mine. The Lord will want me to have it, he'll give it to me. But coveting is enough to keep you out of heaven. But I'll give you now the good news. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, we are living under grace. And I am not saying to do those things now. They still exist, they're still relevant, but we live by grace. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're washed clean. There is nothing unclean about us. We have the robes of righteousness that have been given to us by Jesus Christ, where we are as clean as we can get. There is nothing. There is nothing to be added to that. There is no dress code that can finish off that. There is nothing, absolutely zero. The best thing that you can have and know is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to get away from depression, if you want to get away from anything that the outside world or Satan throws at you, remember this, and this is the thing you take home with you. Turn to Jesus. I have learned the best friend that you can turn to is Jesus Christ. Even if somebody here lets you down, don't take it out of them. We're all human beings. We're fallible. We are capable of betraying you because we're not Jesus. We only try to exemplify him. If we were like Jesus, we would be perfect. We are perfect in spirit, but not in body. That is going to be taken away or changed. One of the two are going to happen one of these days. But we have perfected the spirit. The rest we strive for daily. Daily we try to improve. And that is the ongoing battle of living in this life. The spiritual side of things has been taken care of. And I, for one, thank God that this is settled. If this was not settled, we'd all be in trouble. Thank you, Jesus, for that. The Lord bless you and open your understanding and get you into the fight of, first of all, having a relationship with Him, and then to grow in Him, and then to lead others to Him.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. What's an ambassador? Somebody who is sent to a different country to sell this country's goods. We are ambassadors. We tell people about how good our God is. Be you reconciled to Him, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that's a good deal. You don't want to miss that one. He became sin for us, that we might be made perfect. How many of us are perfect? I am. Am I a good guy? Am I doing all the right things? No. It's the blood of Jesus that's perfect, that made me perfect. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, chapter 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's a big order in this day and age with all the prosperity we got. Set your affection on things of God. Because we're here for a moment, it's all going to go away. I was one that found out in a quick hurry how fast things can be taken away from you. So God is forewarning us. Set your affection on the things of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. For you are dead. I love this verse. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Where? In God. What does that scripture mean? Your life is hid, is versteckt. If be versteckt in Him before, in Christ Jesus. Nobody sees me. God doesn't see me, only the blood of Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Looking forward to that one. I kid you not. We're coming back with God to do what? To straighten this mess up. And let me tell you, first of all, we got to leave. How many of you are ready to leave? Those listening through the internet, how many are ready to leave? It could happen in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's not going to be time for prayer. There's not going to be time to straighten out your life. It'll happen in a split second, and you'll be out of here. Hallelujah. Upper room, anywhere. You'll be gone. It's going to be awesome. In the meantime, hide yourself in Christ Jesus. So these are the ones that are going to go. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Here's a good one. Believe, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what happens in many, many, many religions. They add on, they subtract, they leave out the word of God. The gospel is not important anymore. They have a social gospel. And let me tell you, that's the biggest death trap there is. Jesus is somehow put aside, and the rudiments and traditions, they're brought to the front, and they're paid more attention to than the cross itself. So look at your hearts. What's in there? If you're worshiping, your heart tells you when you worship, not your singing. God checks the heart for worship. If you make a decision for Christ, it's an act of worship. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? If you make a decision, I'll repeat that again. If you make a decision for Christ, it's an act of worship. Not some hyper raising your hands. Even that's good if you do it. Singing is good. Everything, music is good. But true worship is a decision for God. That's when He knows your heart is right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it tells us in Colossians chapter 2, you are complete in Him. How do you like that? Are you complete in Christ? You are perfect. You are pure. You are holy. If I look at you, I may miss that one. But guess who looks at you? God looks at you. And guess what He sees? He sees Jesus Christ Himself standing there as if you're the one. You are hid in Christ. So you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Hallelujah. We have a good God. He loves us, and He's going to keep us. We are complete unto Him. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. We are His workmanship. We didn't do it ourselves. It was God who changed our hearts. Yes, that comes afterwards, the changing. But the initial step is you make a decision for God, and God changes your heart. And once that happens, you are His for keeps. Hallelujah. Neither death nor life, nor principalities, things, powers, things present to come can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus towards you. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. He loves us. He is going to stick closer than a friend by a long shot. So depend on Him. trust in Him, seek Him, have a relationship with Him, and you'll find out this God is truth, this God is honest, and this God loves you. Hallelujah. Never to leave you or forsake you. Colossians chapter 3, 14. Above all things, put on charity, which means love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, so that which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Thankful for what? That you belong to God. Regardless of what comes your way, and I've experienced it, but in my heart, there's a thankfulness that nobody can take away from you. If the doctor says, this guy is pretending, you know that your God is on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our God. He loves us. So give Him your heart, your life, and guess what? He'll take the next step and take you forward. The upper room is not for nothing. It's there for some reason. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, chapter 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Steve had a whole month of messages. The word of God is important. Make sure you don't deviate from it. Regardless what people say, stick with the word. Why the word? The word tells you Jesus loves you. The word tells you that He has sealed you unto the day of redemption. The word tells you you're perfect, you're pure. The word tells you these things because the word is from God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. So He is God. You're reading Him. If you study Him, believe Him, you got something that'll never leave you or forsake you and will never let you down. Hallelujah. Admonish one another in spirit in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in the word of in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God, the Father, for Him. Give thanks. Always thank Him. Be thankful because He gives us what? Eternal life. How long is eternity? It's forever and ever. You step across that line, it's over for you as far as the decision is made. What decision you make here is going to carry you throughout eternity. Is it hell or is it heaven? The choice is yours. God give it to you. And whatever choice you make, it's going to be yours for keeps. There's a scripture that says, death and life is in the tongue. Choose what? Jesus said it. Choose what? Choose life. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Make you guys a blessing. Amen.